Greetings in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers pray and contribute so that this program can be aired on a variety of radio stations. This week, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will share another lesson from the book of Revelation. Using chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, we will hear the words to the church at Laodicea telling them to be earnest and repent. We now worship our Lord with song. Please pray with me. Holy Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we speak to you in prayer. Thank you for blessing our lives. We ask for the effective use of this program and for other gospel efforts. Local congregations of believers and others are sharing your word, and they need your blessing in serving you. Please be with each one who is listening today, who may be ill, troubled, or most importantly, lost in sin. We pray for the healing, peace, and convictions that are needed. Help us to always be mindful that Jesus is going to come back for his church at your appointed time. Thank you for allowing us to talk to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using Christ's letter to Laodicea, Brother David Johnson will present Be Earnest and Repent.
Thank you for listening to this Words of Life broadcast. As we together look into the Word of God, as we study and learn the truths therein for ourselves and share its truths with others. The title for the lesson is Be Earnest and Repent. And our text is found in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, as we complete this last installment in this series of the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. Please listen to the Word of God. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Today we consider and apply the last of the seven messages of Jesus Christ to seven representative churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. To this church comes the strongest, sternest rebuke from Christ. The message is all condemnation with no compliments. However, Christ counsels there is still time to be earnest and repent. Many believe that this message corresponds to the churches at large in the last of the last days of this, the church age. The church at Laodicea may well represent the apostate church that has existed throughout church history, but as the scripture reveals, is accelerating in its apostasy, in its falling away from the central gospel truths of God's redemption exclusively by the cross and the empty tomb of Christ Jesus. This is Christ's counsel we must all hear and heed, lest we be taken in by the wiles of the devil or the false words of the apostates, the false teachers. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14a. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, The church at Laodicea was probably founded during the time of Paul's extended ministry at Ephesus. The city of Laodicea was located on a plateau several hundred feet high, which made it almost impregnable to successful attack. Its vulnerability was it had to pipe in water from several miles away through aqueducts that could easily be blocked or diverted by besieging enemies. Laodicea was founded and named by the ruler Antiochus II, named after his wife. The original settlers were primarily from Syria, with also a significant number of Jews. Yet even the Talmud, Jewish writings, revealed scornfully of the life of ease and laxness lived by the Laodicean Jews. Laodicea was a wealthy commercial center located at the junction of two important trade roads or routes. So wealthy was Laodicea that it paid for its own reconstruction following a devastating earthquake in the year of our Lord 60, rejecting financial aid from Rome. Laodicea was famous for the soft, black wool it produced for clothing and carpets. It was also an important center for ancient medicine. Its medical school was famous for an eye salve it had developed and exported throughout the Greco-Roman world. Laodicea was also a major banking center, all accounting for the city's wealth and pride. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14b. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. The Amen is a unique title Christ used of himself only here in Scripture. Christ probably had in mind what is to us Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 16, which says in part, God of truth, whereby God is twice called this. Amen is actually a transliteration of a Hebrew word meaning truth or affirmation or certainty. Christ is affirming, therefore, that he is truth, and he is certainly unchangeable truth. Christ is also the faithful and true witness. All these titles, therefore, affirm that Jesus Christ had accurately assessed their unredeemed or apostate condition. He accurately knows all of us today. In his messages to the seven churches, Christ usually referred to their deeds as evidence, as validation of their true faith, as it continues to be also today. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. Our deeds, our works ultimately outwardly tell the tale of our inner spiritual condition. This not to earn or merit salvation, but rather because we are saved by God's grace through genuine faith. We, in fact, evidence it by godly deeds. Salvation is verified not by mere lip service, but by God, by good intentions, nor by shallow professions of faith, but instead through earnest faith in action. That is a lifestyle of godly deeds and character, not just desires, not just good intentions. Jesus clearly taught in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, which says in part, by their fruit you will recognize them. The Apostle Paul wrote, inspired of the Holy Spirit, in Romans chapter 2 and verses 6 through 7, God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. So our deeds confirm the presence of genuine faith leading to salvation. Christ rebuked the Laodicean church for their deeds being neither cold nor hot, using imagery from the Laodicea's piped-in water supply. Because the water traveled several miles through an underground aqueduct, the water arrived dirty and lukewarm. It was not cold and refreshing, like steam water to the nearby city of Colossae. Nor was it hot enough to relax and restore as the hot springs at the nearby city of Hierapolis. Meaning the church at Laodicea's deeds were putrid and useless, not pleasing to God. Evidence of their being unredeemed or apostate, both spiritually dead. God forbid any church have this accurate assessment leveled at them. Christ continued in a scathing rebuke. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The imagery here is of bland, blind religionists, full of compromise regarding the central gospel, the biblical teachings, of those who prefer conformity with the world's ways. It's about comfort zone above all, with no real commitment to Christ, nor His character or teachings. It's about jellyfish-type Christians without backbone. It's about fence-sitters regarding what the Bible reveals as right and wrong. It's about mediocrity, not in drive, not in reverse, just stuck in neutral, tolerating nearly everything. The spiritual thermometer is neither hot nor cold, just tepid apathy. Just a religion of routine and ritual denying its power. And that is all very serious. Some made Jesus weep. Others made Jesus angry. The Laodicean church made Jesus sick, literally in the Greek, to vomit you out of my mouth. John R.W. Stott, a fine expositor of Scripture, writes, quote, "Perhaps none of the seven letters is more appropriate to the 20th and 21st century church than this. It describes vividly the respectable, sentimental, nominal, skin-deep religiosity which is so widespread among us today. Our Christianity is flabby and anemic. We appear to have taken a lukewarm bath of religion." End of quote. No one is harder to reach for Christ than a false Christian trusting in his or her own righteousness or merit, full of pride. This is evident from Christ's assessment of the Laodicean church. They claimed to have need of nothing. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. "You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." External economic wealth can so easily block or corrupt and corrode inner spiritual richness. Convenience and comfort can easily lead to spiritual pride, to self-sufficiency, and to self-satisfaction. That is, to personal dependence, even independence from God. And we should say, God forbid. Christ indicated that they were self-deceived, deluded. They thought themselves rich. Christ said they were in fact poor, pitiful. They thought themselves wealthy. Christ said they were wretched. They thought themselves not needing a thing. Christ said they were blind and naked. Jesus Christ accurately assessed them according to where and how they lived. Their wealth was based in wool clothing. Also, their wealth was based in banking, in medicine, eye salve. They were naked, poor, and blind regarding what really counts for eternity. They were wretched, spiritual imposters, which is tragic and deadly. Christ had constructive counsel for them and any today who are in similar condition. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see." Notice, even with these who are wretched, pitiful, and spiritually blind, by God's grace, Christ offers a threefold antidote. There is a remedy. First, gold refined in the fire of His chastening unto true spirituality. Spiritual, precious metal of genuine faith tried and tested through the trials of this life. Secondly, white clothes to wear pointing them to purity and holiness in the Lord, not being shameful, but instead dressed in His righteousness, faithful in Him and His character. Thirdly, salve for their eyes to remedy, to restore spiritual light, to provide spiritual insight and discernment as according to godly character and biblical doctrine. Whether unregenerate or unrepentant believers headed for apostasy, Christ warned them and sought their repentance and true faith and perseverance. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." Jesus Christ cares. He desires that all would come to an obedience of faith. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says in part, "He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Notice also, love and rebuke can come together. Genuine love strives to correct, to restore, to revive, to renew unto eternal life. Jesus Christ knows if our repentance is earnest. It's exhibited by a pattern of life rooted in genuine confession and repentance of our sins. Christ earnestly and tenderly, deeply desires a personal relationship and fellowship with each of us, as He further states in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Imagine, this is addressed to a professing church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Here, Christ is depicting Himself outside His church, seeking entrance, seeking relationship, seeking fellowship, meaningful fellowship, genuine fellowship. Christ knocks, but we must answer His knocking. Here it is we who must open the door. Yet we must hear His voice, representing our need to repent, to believe, and to answer and accept His knocking. Christ does not want to remain an outsider, but wants to enter into our lives as we invite Him in to stay and have genuine fellowship with Him. Finally, Christ reveals another of His rewards beyond eternal life with Him for the overcomer. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." To be overcomers in the faith in Christ Jesus is to have a part in the administration of the messianic millennial kingdom following the church age and into eternity. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." To reign is to have a part in Messiah's throne as he delegates those duties to his own. Many are the rewards beyond eternal life with God himself for the overcomers in Christ Jesus. All overcomers in Christ must first earnestly repent and believe, with the obedience that comes from faith in living a life that is pleasing to the Lord and seeking to honor Him also by godly doctrine as we find it in the Scriptures, following it in obedience.
Have you made the important decision to repent, and have you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life? If we can help you in making a decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free recording of this program, please request broadcast number 1949. That's 1949. You can also request the programs in the whole Revelation series, including the letters to the seven churches. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.